where if, or where do you want to go to a place where if you're not winning big, they want you gone? Tennessee Butch Jones, that thing, it's blown up. Bielema leaves Wisconsin for Arkansas. Do you think that there's been a moment or two in his life where he regretted that?
There is now.
Yeah. Nebraska. That's been a coaching graveyard since Tom Osborne retired. Okay. If you're talking Ohio State, that's a whole different kettle of fish. Campbell's from Ohio, and you're talking one of the three or four elite jobs in the country. But there's no sense that that's opening up anytime soon. So, I'd say let Kirk Herbstreit and the Kirk Herbstreits of the world make those comments, but don't get bent out of shape because you're in the middle of something that's pretty fun right now, and see how far it goes.
Pretty fun and pretty special, and this will be the biggest game that Iowa State has hosted in Ames in a long time. I think it's safe to say that. Not only homecoming, but TCU coming in, number four in the country. Iowa State now in the top 25. And like we talked about a little bit earlier on, this is a Cyclone team playing for the here and now, but Matt Campbell, what he's done as far as the recruiting trail the last 2 years, this is a team on the rise, and it's a pretty young team. I mean, you take away Lazard and Lanning and people like that, but this team has the makings anyway that has the possibility they can be around for a while.
Well, here's the deal. We knew coming into the season that they had a good offense. They had good offensive players, although we didn't know that Kyle Kemp would be the quarterback. But you knew that David Montgomery was a gem at running back. You knew what Lazard was at receiver. You knew they had other receivers. You didn't know that the defense would come on like it has. And it is light years better than it was against Iowa in the second game of the season. In the last five games, it's allowed 17 points in second halves total. That used to be, teams used to get that in a quarter against Iowa State. One quarter, not five halves. And that includes Oklahoma and Texas Tech, who have two of the most potent offenses in the country. They've got players on defense. I mean, this week it was Marcel Spears as the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week. 2 weeks before that, it was Joel Lanning. They've got other guys, Brian Peavy and Cotton Moya, Willie Harvey. These are good players. And they seem to be getting better. I mean, Texas Tech came into that game Saturday at home, averaging 7 yards a play. That was in the top six or eight in the country. They got 4 yards a play. You know, that's almost shutting an offense like that down by half. That was a team that had not been held under 27 points in the last, I think, 9-10 games. Iowa State holds them to 13. So they had held Oklahoma to 7 points after halftime. This is not a one-game thing now. This is a pattern. And when you can play defense like that, you can play against anybody.
Rush three, drop eight. It's a good formula right now, I think.
Yeah, now the thing is, I'm not sure how that's going to work against TCU. TCU's got a really balanced offense and a really good offense.
And a good defense.
It's a good defense, too. We're talking Big 12 football, and we're talking about two teams with good defenses, which is something that hasn't been done every day for the last several years. So this is for real. TCU's a big-time team. They're in the top five. They deserve to be in the top five. But you know what? All the better, because if Iowa State can find a way to win this game, now you've got a whole new level that people are talking about.
8209 in the text line, kind of echoing what your sentiment is, Mike. Campbell's a Rust Belt guy. I think it takes an Ohio State or a Penn State to get him to move.
Yeah, and he's from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where they're doing a lot of their recruiting, which is another thing to note. This is almost like an anti-Big 12 thing, whereas in the past Iowa State had dwelled in Texas and Florida, and some Californians as well. Campbell's kind of getting away from that, and he's focusing on what he knows, which every coaching staff does, and that's Ohio. It's where he grew up. It's where he played ball, and it's where he coached ball until he came to Ames. And Ohio has so much football talent, as everybody knows. He probably knows every high school coach in the state. Mm-hmm. His dad was a high school coach in Massillon, which is, you know, in Massillon, you come out of the womb playing football. And so this is kind of a different deal. This is Ohio mentality in Big 12 football. And, you know, we might be flying off the handle here, but, hey, they're 5-2, and before the season people said maybe they can go 6-6.
I think at this point, if you had to buy stock, I think you're buying stock in Ames instead of Iowa City at this moment, aren't you?
Yeah, but you know how fluid these things are.
Right, exactly. That's why I said at this moment.
Yeah. I mean, look, could you see Iowa winning at Oklahoma?
Hmm. No.
Seriously, you couldn't. Would you see Iowa winning 31-13 at Texas Tech?
Probably not.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. So, yeah, at this moment.
There you go. And basketball starts this week.
Mm. Does it really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't care.
Exhibitions.
I have fun following some of the former Iowa State players, what their maneuverings are in the pro ranks. And I find it interesting, all these – you know, great players, George Niang, Jared Utoff, Peter Jock, and the guy in the NBA right now, Monte Morris is there, I guess, but
true.
Abdul Nader.
Yeah.
He's playing with the Celtics.
Yeah, he got in a couple of games last week.
Not to say he's not a nice player, but.
Yeah. Well, he's got a lot of skills. And he went to the Celtics a year ago, and they said they drafted him, in fact, late in the second round, which is a surprise in itself. And they said, look, you want to spend the whole year in Portland, Maine. And a lot of guys out of college don't really want to do that, want to go make some money. But he said, yeah. And he went there and had a terrific season, and the Celtics, you know, have their own coaches on that team in Maine, and they liked what they saw from him in a lot of ways. And it got to the point where during training camp, he wasn't even on the bubble. He was just going to be on the team. So that's a good story. And meanwhile, the struggle continues for former All-Americans and former first team All-Big Ten, Big 12 players. You know, Utah's got to go back to the G League. George Niang going down to the G League, Peter Jock starting in the G League. Monte Morris is on a two-way at Denver, which means he'll spend most of the year in the G League. So how good's the NBA? Well, that's how good.
Yeah, it is. It is. I know you'd like to be in two places at once Saturday. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Either, you know, Honolulu or Jamaica.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Oh, what do you got coming up at thegazette.com?
Well, sort of a further in-depth look of what I was just talking about with all those Iowa collegians who are in the minor leagues of pro basketball. And football-wise, weekly Big Ten rankings, and I'm going to try and write something on Miguel Racinos tomorrow.
All right. Very good. Hey, Mike, appreciate it as always, and thanks a lot for stopping by. We'll talk with you next Monday.
Yeah, boy, we'll have a lot to talk about next week.
I think we might. Thanks, Mike.
Okay.
3:43, we'll take a break, come back. We're going to talk with KJ Pilcher, and we'll do that when we come back here on KGYM.
The Home Depot has ladders. lots and lots of ladders. And now through the end of November, select ladders come right to your door with free shipping from HomeDepot.com. Select from a 6-foot stepladder, an extension ladder for higher projects, or maybe a 22-foot adjustable multi-position gorilla ladder. Step up to great savings on a new ladder. And now through November, get free shipping when you order on HomeDepot.com. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Offer valid on select ladders online only.
If you've got the drive, you need the tires that'll go the distance. Get $60 by mail on a Firestone Visa prepaid card when you buy a set of 4 eligible tires. Increase your reward to $100 with a qualifying tire purchase using your CFNA credit card. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid through November 12th, subject to credit approval. Prepaid card is issued by the Bancorp Bank, member FDIC, and can be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. Bancorp Bank is not affiliated with CFNA.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa auto parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Calling all contractors, announcing the Ferguson and Ram Commercial Ultimate Van Giveaway. We're handing over the keys to a 2018 Ram Commercial ProMaster van stacked so high with brand name tools, you'll be glad you've got that 76 inches of cargo height. We'll even brand it for you, so there'll be no doubt who's riding in style. Worth over 100,000 big ones, enter at Ferguson.com/Ram Van Giveaway. Hear that? That's opportunity honking.
No purchase necessary. For official rules and eligibility details, visit Ferguson.com/Ram Van Giveaway.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the gym class, KGYM.
Back with you here on the Monday edition of the gym class, KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk some basketball. Kevin Lehman will join us from Big 12 Media Day. He was at all of the media days last week. We'll get a little college basketball flavor coming up tomorrow. And Cal Eldred will preview the World Series. Game one coming up tomorrow, Dallas Keuchel against Clayton Kershaw, Astros and the Dodgers. We'll have it tomorrow night beginning at 7 right here on KGYM. Coming up this Friday night, it's the first night of the Iowa High School football playoffs. To talk about that a little bit. Oh, we may talk a little wrestling, maybe a minute or two. KJ Pilcher, also the Cedar Rapids Gazette. It's Gazette Day at Wrigley today.
Gazette Day.
Going to rent a JR's office and held the show down there.
Well, it's just kind of the way it goes sometimes.
That's all right.
Ready for the second season?
As ready as I can be.
There are a lot of storylines.
Oh, there are quite a few. There's some great. This is week 9 was probably one of the biggest week 9s that I can remember, where there are so many implications and you know, football field, the playoff fields were just coming down to that last thing, where you just look at the 2A district with Cascade and Waukon and Union, and like 20 different scenarios could have popped up depending on who won and by how much. And of course, all three of them ended up making it. But really exciting. Kind of a playoff feel already before the playoffs started.
We all like controversy. I mean, ever since the introduction of the playoffs,
riled up.
The playoff system, there's been tweaks and there's been folks left out. And now our friends in Auburnette are not happy. Can you explain that situation?
And deservedly so.
Yeah.
I think what it did was it came down to a wild card berth that went to New London over Auburnette, and it came down to the point differential. However, there was I believe it was Danville that canceled their season. That left an A district with New London, Linville, Sully, Pekin. I think Montezuma's in there as well. A team short. So they only had eight games on their season, six in the district play. So they ended up 4-2, a half game behind Auburnette, who was 5-2 in the toughest Class A district. And you can kind of tell what side I'm leaning on here. It certainly was kind of unfair.
But New London was rewarded for
the
forfeit
with Danville. They considered that the association, even though it did not appear on their records, we've had forfeits all over Eastern Iowa, teams not being able to have enough people, whatever. Teams were rewarded with a victory. However, the teams in that district were not, their records did not show or have any indication that they received a forfeit for the Danville cancellations.
But
when it came down to deciding who went in, New London supposedly, even though it didn't show up on anything, was given credit for a forfeit with that cancellation, which didn't change their record per se, but then they decided, well, they, in effect, would have been 5-2. They were 5-2. Then the next tiebreaker, point
they
differential.
They awarded points as if they would have won.
Would have won, and they based it on like their average play through week 3 to week 7.
Mm-hmm. And it all added
which
up.
Which is very arbitrary and doesn't make much sense.
A tie.
Yeah.
And, man, whether it be alphabet or that, I don't know which is worse, yeah. But I wish
That's another way. And now I hear there's talk, you know, about expanding the playoffs again. 32 teams.
It's too many.
It is.
24 would be,
you know,
okay.
4A. The way 4A was aligned with 48 teams and having 32 teams. Remember, it wasn't that long ago where Mason City got in with a 1-8 record. It's ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. 24 teams, I think, would be a great way to structure things. Then the top three teams. You know, if you're a fourth team in a district, even in a really tough district, it's kind of hard to make your case even more to say, hey, we deserve to be in. Even though there will be instances where that'll come up.
But there's inequities everywhere. I mean, I had someone ask me, Washington lost its last game and it's 5-4, but yet the loser of the Kennedy Prairie game has to go home.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way
district
it's set
football.
Up. Yeah.
That's the way, you know, when you're only counting district games to that, you know, a lopsided, you know, there's a Kennedy's not in, but there's a, you know, there are teams in other districts that, you know, Kennedy would have been better. You know, I think not knocking Davenport Central at all, but, you know, they had a really good ground game, but Davenport Central came out of a really weak district that was dominated by Bentendorf, and they're going and Kennedy's staying home.
Thank goodness Valley and Dowling are in opposite districts still.
Don't even get me started on how somehow those two got separated as far as they did.
I broke it down, and geographically, they pretty much went by the book in every detail they could, except for Central Iowa and 4A, where they jumbled everything up so Valley and Dowling could be on opposite sides.
I do not understand how that's not at least a quarterfinal game.
Yeah,
it's a district champ and a district runner-up should be a first-round game. The way they're set up. And at the very least, how is it not a quarterfinal game?
Yeah. Well, I agree, but that's kind of the way it is every year.
Those kids get off my lawn.
KJ wants you off his lawn.
Yeah.
4A.
On the better things.
You got Wash going down to West. Prairie's got to go to Wartburg because USA Wrestling's at the Unidome this weekend.
Yep.
So that, by the way, 1600 AM, we will have Prairie at Cedar Falls, which is actually at Wartburg, and Wash at Iowa City West will be on our FMs 107.5 and 106.3 Friday night. You know, favorites would be West and Cedar Falls. I think Bentendorf got a really good draw on the bottom side of that thing, so you could see a West Cedar Falls rematch.
Yeah, definitely. I think, not definitely, but what you said as far as the gauntlet that those top four teams in that quarter of the bracket, somebody's really going to be battle tested and maybe even worn down by the time they get to the semifinals, because those are going to be two really tough games that you're going to have to win. You know, it's kind of interesting. We were talking about the playoff setup, you know, before when this first round game was on a Wednesday, we wouldn't have this issue with the Unidome and playing at Wartburg, but now with the Friday layout, they're going to Wartburg and Prairie. I tell
don't
you what,
discount Prairie.
Prairie is very good, but I think what we're going to see is a real clash of strengths. Prairie's run game against Cedar Falls' rush defense. Cedar Falls' rush defense has been phenomenal all season long. They haven't given up 100 yards to a rusher. I don't even think a rusher has gone over 80 yards against them, at least through the first 8 weeks. I didn't have stats for the Waterloo East win, but I couldn't imagine it'd be any different. They gave up less than a yard a carry in three different games this year. They held, I think it's Ames, who's a pass-dominated team, they held them to 0.26 yards a carry, which is 9 inches. So you're moving 9 inches. That's not, you can't get first downs that way. And that's a pretty stout defense. And, of course, you know, you got to see Keegan Simmons quite a few times. You know, Prairie, they're gonna shove the ball right down your throat in the way that Simmons, he likes that. You know, and that's a big back that can wear down defenses. We saw him wear down Kennedy where the last 5 minutes, they just, through the last half of the fourth quarter, they just took over. So that's going to be a real contrast in styles with their strengths up there. And it's going to be it's going to be a gut check. Whoever can win up front is going to come away with a win. And, you know, Washington on paper, this, you know.
Like we said, when they're good, they're good. And when they're not, they're not.
It just depends on what Washington team is going to show up.
Yeah.
And Wes has been very consistent. They've been dominant all year. The passing game, their offensive attack is phenomenal. Evan Flitz, you know, just going by the numbers, 2,157 yards. And this is coming after Oliver Martin graduated. You know, you're losing one of the nation's top receivers, top recruits that went to Michigan. And all you did was seemingly get stronger and more impressive in the pass attack. You know, they've got some real good targets. Travis Buchanan has really turned into a playmaker. He's getting D1 looks, Iowa, Northwestern, a lot of places. Jalen Gaudette, 473 yards and 4 touchdowns, and he's nowhere close to what Buchanan has done with 914 and 13. So it's going to be whether or not Washington can stop that pass attack. And you know, it's kind of tough because here lately, Washington hasn't been able to do that. They've given up 1,067 yards passing in the last five games. So that's a little over 200 yards, 213 a game. They're going to need a big game from Haven Henningsen, one of the top 4A rushers, who has over 1,100 yards. They're going to need to control the clock and keep that offense off the field.
I want to ask you quickly about Xavier, but I do have a comment on the text line. Remember, Bettendorf only beat Pleasant Valley by 7 this year. Don't count out PV.
Nope, don't count them out.
Xavier with a tremendous regular season again, year after year, it seems like. What do you think of their path?
I think there's a little bit of a collision course here with Solon and Xavier on that side. Oskaloosa, they've got a nice little run attack, but they, outside of Solon and Washington in that district, it's a little bit weaker than what we've seen, especially with the district that Xavier came out of with Waverly, Shellrock, with Decorah, Benton. But what they've been able to do defensively has been impressive. Their defense has been very, very stingy. Quinn Schulte has made the transition to quarterback and has been really effective. Really impressed with his play against Waverly, Shellrock. The way he's able to run and pass, and then his leadership really came through. You know, they came down, it was a tight game. Waverly gets their first lead midway through the fourth quarter, and what happens? Schulte throws two passes, and bam, scores a touchdown. They're back on top, and then they get a turnover. He's been really impressive with the way he's kind of led that offense, mm-hmm. and, you know, complements that strong defense very well. But Assumption, I guess Assumption against Marion on Thursday. And that might be one of the sneakiest 7-2 teams. And it seems weird talking about Assumption, who's so good. You know,
they don't have many guys this year.
No, not very many guys. But, boy, their rush game, they've got some quality guys that are on the field. And their quarterback, Jake Levi, absolutely is impressive. As a rushing quarterback, and he ran roughshod on Marion last Thursday that kept Marion out of the playoffs. They have a nice little combo with Ryan Wohlers that pounds the ball between the tackles, and that's going to be a tough out. That's going to be a tough out for anybody. Washington, Iowa, they start with the Demons there. Washington's been without their starting quarterback, Ryan Reigard.
Who's really good.
Who's really good, but they plugged in a sophomore, Luke Turner, when he got hurt, and the numbers that he's put up in place of Reigard, he's thrown for over 1,000 yards and rushed for 753. So he has 1,800 total yards as a sophomore stepping in where they thought, hey, you know, we're going to have this drop-off, but he's cushioned the blow. And outside of the game against Solon, they've been pretty impressive.
We're running out of time. Okay, Mount Vernon looks good in 2A. You got Walk-On was sent on the other side, which was interesting.
Yes, and I think that works out really well for Walk-On. Yeah. I think that's looking at who they have, Clear Lake, New Hampton. They've beaten New Hampton already. New Hampton's beaten Clear Lake, if you want to do that. Dyke New Hartford's not quite at the level they have, but that's I think that's setting up for a nice semifinal between Boyden Hall, Rock Valley, and Walk-On, which could be certainly worth the price of admission.
Yeah, it could be a lot of fun in that one. And how about Regina? What's her chances of getting reclaiming the throne, if you will?
I like it. I like it a lot, even though they started slow. It's kind of interesting between Regina and Southwind. The both of them started 1-5 through 3 weeks. And here Regina's won 7 straight. Southwind has won 6 straight. If Regina, and it's going to sound weird, if Regina gets past Southwind, Southwind's defense has been phenomenal during this win streak. They've had 4 shutouts, I think, over the last 4 games and only given up 18 points in the last 6 weeks. So I think we can get a really good gauge on how Regina handles that defense. And I really don't see anybody touching Regina all the way through the finals.
Real quick, Cargo and Iowa State, how big was that? Wrestling.
I think it was extremely important, especially since they lost Brody Teske to Penn State. That was somebody that, you know, when Kevin Dresser and Metcalf and St. John and Zadik came in, they were supposed to attract those big-name guys. Teske got away from him, but for them to get Carr, especially somebody with ties to Iowa State and being so highly ranked at his weight class – nationally, that was a big time get for them, and certainly kind of a marquee name in this recruiting class.
There you go. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Follow him on Twitter. KJ, thank you for coming in.
Hey, I appreciate it.
All right.
Nobody else from the Gazette actually comes in, do they? I'm better than
seldom. All right, Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up next here on KGYM. Have yourselves a great night. Talk to you tomorrow at 3.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.